The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Yeah. Welcome to BS Report. I'm not Bill Simmons. I'm David Jacoby. And I'm here with my man, Jalen Rose. Jalen.
Got to give the people.
What are we going to give them?
Give the people what they want.
All week this week on the BS Report, we'll be hosting the Grantland Network Takeover, meaning we'll be putting the Grantland Network shows on the BS Report, starting with the Jalen Rose Show.
The good thing is that we get a chance to host the BS Report. It's a larger audience.
Yep.
I can talk a lot of the initials of this show,
mm-hmm.
but however, we're going to have a larger audience, and because of that, we're going to be under the microscope.
I'm a little concerned, Jalen.
And our boss may not allow us to host this show
concerned.
After this.
I always say that one of my
How
jobs...
How did you get the keys to this program?
No, I don't know. I don't know. But one of my concerns is... One of my jobs is to keep you from getting fired, and it's going to be even harder today. So you just came back from London.
Yes, I did.
What was happening out there? Tell me about it.
London is more stated. You know, I got a couple of stamps in the passport, hit up London, hit up Paris. Got a chance to see Buckingham Palace, Big Ben, the London Eye, Covent Garden. We call it government. They call it parliament. We call it a subway or a train. They call it a tube.
Okay.
They call it an elevator. We call it an elevator. They call it a lift.
What was it like out there? What's the crowd like? What's the vibe like?
The vibe was tremendous. You have people from all across the world there to support their country in the Olympics. It was a huge melting pot. It was a very exciting time to be in London. It was my first time ever visiting London, so it was a very good time for me. And I will be going back. And you know, the crazy thing is that it's 5 hours ahead East Coast time, which is 8 hours ahead Pacific Coast time. I like being a step ahead.
Yeah.
I like that 5 hour time difference because I was over there handling my business too. I'd be hitting people at 9:01. I bet they was like, wow, this cat is
on top of it.
I'm sending emails, texts, all of that.
So you spent a lot of time around Team USA.
Yes.
I have a lot of questions.
Okay.
My first question is this. Who's the top dog on the team?
Kobe is the most stated and accomplished player on the team.
A vocal leader.
So he's going to command the respect of the team, Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
The best player on the team is LeBron James. What about the year this guy is having?
I know.
You win an MVP, your third, a championship with Miami. You take over crazy in the playoffs a couple of series when your team was trailing against Indiana, against Boston, against OKC. Now you're the leader of the USA basketball team who now are in a position to win a gold medal. So LeBron James is having a terrific year.
In that Lithuania game, in the fourth quarter, it was almost like LeBron looked up at the scoreboard and was like, what, we're losing with 5 minutes left? Don't worry, guys, I got this.
This is what people have to pay attention to. When you don't have size, and what I mean is physical interior presence, I know that LeBron James is the same height and weight as Karl Malone. I know that Carmelo Anthony is taller than Charles Barkley. That's not the point. Their skill set is not to be an interior presence at the power forward position. And when you don't have post-up players, and I'm comparing them to the 92 team, because those are the comparisons that they warranted, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, David Robinson is center, Patrick Ewing is center. These were 2010 players that would dominate a smaller man guard.
And back to the basket, guys.
We have small forwards for their NBA teams, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, now playing power forward, and with one substitute, center.
Center. LeBron was playing center in the fourth quarter.
For our USA team. So now the other team realizes that we can continue to drive it to the basket, go for layups, go for dunks, use pick and roll action, misdirection action, try to get them off the dribble, drive and kick, and when their shots are falling like they were in the previous game, you saw how Lithuania shot 58% from the floor.
I know.
That lets you know that there's no intimidation factor. I would like to see Anthony Davis get more minutes.
Why?
I would like to
Why
see
do you
Kevin
want to see Anthony Davis get more minutes?
Because he blocks shots, runs the floor. He's a hybrid of what the big man position has come.
Wouldn't you rather have Tyson Chandler protecting the rim?
But he can't play the entire game. Mm-hmm. That's the whole object of it, especially if Kevin Love, the only player on the team that plays power forward for his team, that could get you 15, 20 rebounds on average, yet still get you 20 points. If you're not going to play those two guys, then we're going to continue to be a small team, and that's why other teams are going to be confident driving to the basket.
What do you think the best lineup is? Because they're trying every combination.
You have to go for scoring. So whether it's Chris Paul or Darren Williams, you can flip a coin there. Mm-hmm. You're going to have Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and then Kevin Durant. You want to switch everything on the defensive end. You want to play faster. They're going to get a lot of steals. Quick hands, quick feet, 5-on-4s, transition, secondary breaks, the 3-on-2, 2-on-1s, the runouts. That's where Team USA is going to be at their strength. We're not going to get a lot of high block shots because, as I mentioned, we just don't have that size and physical presence challenging at the rim.
Do you think they shoot too many jump shots?
No. It's going to be discussed ad nauseum. That's a warm-up jumper in the NBA. And if you're on Team USA and somebody's backing off of you 5 feet, you have to take the shot.
Why? Why do you have to take the shot?
Because some things in life you got to live with, and it's a sign of weakness when a player allows you to shoot an open jumper that he realizes that you may be able to make. But also from a competitive standpoint, if you're an NBA superstar or a player that's playing on this team, it's almost a sign of disrespect for somebody to leave you wide open. It's not the park or the YMCA or the backyard with certain guys out there. You're like, man, whatever, let them shoot it. So you have to take that shot. There are going to be peaks and valleys. You saw what happened against Nigeria. Mm-hmm. They all were falling at a record pace.
Yeah, they shot 46 threes or something.
Yes, it was just
hit
bananas.
29.
Put up a scoring record. Carmelo Anthony, the individual record. Mm-hmm. But that can be fool's gold. And what you also have to do, and I say this a lot on every level, high school, college, and pro, when a player on the defensive end gives you 5 feet, you can take that spot up shot, or you can use that dribble drive space as momentum. One of the best players in the league at doing that is Rajon Rondo. Just because you back off of him, and people make that mistake all of the time, if you're not pressuring a guy that can handle the ball, he can now put you on your heels.
He can use that space and that step.
Totally. And that's what Team USA has to do if those shots aren't falling.
I think that's fair. Now, am I crazy or did Kleiza look really good?
Kleiza is tough. He's rugged.
He can play. He looked good.
He's always been a productive player. He's been a hybrid between a 3 and a 4, mm-hmm. so it's hard to find him a starting position. But he definitely deserves to be a full-time NBA player.
He did. He looked good. He wasn't pretty, but he was putting the ball in the basket. The ball was going in the bucket.
Don't you hate when you're watching international competition and you see an NBA player on another roster and he's not doing anything? Mm. Like, if you're the man on your international team, I need to see some fire out of you. I need to see you putting in some work.
Who are you firing shots at?
Challenge LeBron.
Call these people out.
For example, I watched Brazil play. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of Leandro Barbosa, Nicholas Batum, Nene.
Yep.
These are players that have been starters in the NBA. Batum just got a $45 million contract. He has 7 points against the USA. I wanted to see him challenge LeBron, Carmelo, KD. Don't do it after the game and say, oh, the Team USA is beatable.
Okay. Yeah. Seems like everybody says that.
Right?
Of course they do.
You want to throw shots at the throne, but when you were out there on the floor, you didn't even
show up. You scored 7 points.
So NBA players on international rosters, I know you may be a role player on your NBA team, but you're the man on your national team.
You got to put the shots up.
I need to see some physical presence. I need to see some intangibles. It's okay to get up in the face of Team USA.
It is. Here's my question. I want to know more about the practices. What are they doing? What drills are they running? And what's Coach K talking about?
When you have with what is considered a top collection of NBA talent.
It is the top collection of NBA talent.
Just think about it like this. LeBron James got done playing the NBA Finals at the end of June, around the 25th.
Okay.
Kevin Love got done playing his season in April.
Sure did.
2 months prior. So he got a little head start to get ready.
Yeah.
So you can't practice the guys too hard. So it's all about skill work. You walk through a couple of sets, dummy what you're going to do if they run zone, sideline, out of bounds, baseline, out of bounds.
Are they taking it serious or are they joking around?
They are taking it serious. Where you take it more serious is film study, understanding player strengths and weaknesses. That's where the game has grown. The sophistication of understanding the opponent, as opposed to the 80s or even the 90s, where sometimes you'll be playing against an international player and not really know what he's capable of because the sophistication of technology just wasn't as available.
Here's, all right, I always say this. I'm going to make a confession. I'm always like, oh, yeah, the international game is different. The international game is different. But I have no idea what I'm talking about. How is the international game different? Just give me, like, very basic points. I don't know.
First and foremost, one of the things Olympic competition gets right, international competition gets correct, that we don't get correct in the States, and I talked to Coach K about this, our rules aren't uniform. There are still states that have high school basketball without a shot clock.
And the size of the court changes every time you go into a new gym, too, at the high school level.
So how are you getting a student athlete ready to play in college when they don't have a shot clock in high school? The three-point line is different.
They also have the 45-second shot clock, which is ridiculous.
They're playing they're playing 8-minute quarters, 32-minute games in high school. Mm-hmm. Then you get to college, it's a 40-minute game.
And you only get 5 fouls.
Then you get to the pros, it's a 48-minute game. So an international play, the ball is live above the rim, which I don't like. I know that that's something that the NBA is talking about instituting. Let me tell you why I don't like it.
Okay.
A player's at the line shooting 2 free throws. The first free throw hangs on the rim. You're not allowed to knock that one off.
No.
So you shouldn't be allowed to knock the second one off.
It's not a live ball, Jalen.
That's my point. Imagine when Kevin Durant made a game-winning shot versus Dallas. It hit the front of the rim, it hit the back of the rim, and it fell in. Imagine if one of the players for the Mavs
just jumped up and swatted it out.
Come on. Really?
I don't like that rule.
I don't like that rule.
I like the big key.
I like the big key, but they now made it more conventional because they wanted to compete against Americans in particular, and they wanted their players' games to be able to translate more. So their bigs, like a Marc Gasol, Pau Gasol, who are more conventional bigs, they like the international lane because it's more uniform to the NBA. Also, the fouls, as you mentioned, 40-minute game, you could keep it closer.
Yeah.
A 48-minute game in the NBA, each team is going to make runs, but for the most part, the better team can show dominance. The three-point line is different.
It's 3 feet in, right?
That's a huge difference.
That's a big difference.
A couple of feet is a difference. Knocking down a warm-up jumper off the dribble as opposed to a spot-up three in the NBA, that's a different shot. How the game is officiated is different.
How so?
I think their game is more physical.
Mm-hmm. You think the refs let them get away with more?
I think that they call it the way they see it. In the NBA?
What are you talking about?
Well, in the NBA, you have types of calls. You have rookie calls, vet calls, calls in the first 2 minutes, calls in the last 2 minutes. Is it 3 seconds? Is it a reach? Is it over the back? Is it carry? Is it travel?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a block? Is it a charge? Is it a flop?
And how's it with international?
International, they basically don't have superstar calls. You saw Chris Paul get called
the
for a
travel.
Carry.
Yeah, he got called for a travel, too.
He looked at
the
official like, this doesn't happen when I'm in a Staples Center.
Yep.
What's going on here?
He got the ball one time and did that typical, like, 1-2-3 jab step. Yeah. Like, that real quick that you just get away with because he didn't really go anywhere. Whistle blows. He's turning around like, what?
Another rule difference, and I'm pretty sure the USA now knows this, when you roll the basketball in after a made field goal late in the game, the clock still runs.
So why are you doing that?
Like in NBA, you could just let the ball roll.
I don't like the way they let the ball roll around like that.
I don't like that either. But what about this? Why does the defense even allow that?
It doesn't take much energy to run up there and make them pick it up.
Totally. Yeah. All you got to do is run up there and just do a little jab.
And then they're jog back. The ball. It's fine. Yeah.
Right. No harm, no foul. So those are the changes that become adjustments for the USA team. It used to be the zone defense, but you're allowed to do that in the NBA. But teams in the NBA don't do it as much because there's way too many knockdown shooters, way too many drivers. You give up too many offensive rebounds. You see a team every now and then that's successful, like the Mavs were able to do it and leading it to a championship a couple seasons ago. But for the most part, in the NBA, zone is one or two possessions. May run it until they score. May run it until they get to the free throw line. Other than that, that's not a full-time defense. That is something the USA might see later in this tournament.
Now, you do the thing that you always do during this podcast is you casually drop in a very important piece of information that I need to follow up on. You were just like, oh, yeah, I talked to Coach K about that. So you had a conversation with Coach K. What did you ask him about? What did he have to say?
The first thing I did with Coach K is, and I did this on a phone conversation, voicemail earlier when the Fab Five documentary came out, and there was a lot of controversy about things that I said in the documentary that weren't
personal against Coach K,
but they were things that I felt about the high school recruiting process.
So when I and about Duke.
Yes. And obviously he's the leader of Duke.
Yep.
And he's a Hall of Fame coach. So the first thing I did is I went over to Coach K, apologized to him for any discretions, any gray area as far as comments as it was related to him. He said he understood, he respected what I did as a player, he respect what I'm doing in the media. He was like, don't worry about it, it's squashed. So then we talked about the uniformity in basketball. And I could never figure this out. That's why I wanted to talk to him about it. The rules are so different from each level, and then we wonder why it's tough for young players to come in and compete at a high level. Just think about it like this. You're playing for your high school team in a state that doesn't have a shot clock. You go to college for 1 year and you're in the pros 2 years later.
And now you have 24 seconds.
Now you've played under three different rule scenarios, and now people are projecting you based off your talent, not necessarily off your production. So now this player not only has to learn the rules, but he has to learn how to play at a different level,
I think one of the biggest differences is the three-point line. That's the biggest one, especially as far as projecting guys, because everyone's like, oh, yeah, he shoots 45% from three. It's like, yeah, but those are jump shots. That's a two-point jump shot.
The high school three-point line, and I know some coaches are going to say, ooh, when they hear me say this. I think the high school three-point line as well as college and pro should be exactly what it is in the NBA.
That's what I think, too.
So now you eliminate the player in high school that's shooting a warm-up jump shot, but he's really thinking he's knocking down the three. Either you're going to drive it to the basket, play a mid-range game, play a post game, or you're going to play a three-point game.
That's not for everybody. Every court should be 94 by 50.
Yes.
Every court should be 94 by 50. I don't know why. Like, you go, you're in the cafeteria, and you're playing on a tile. You're playing on a tile floor. You know, and it's like, and you're on this tiny little, you know, you can't even shoot a baseline three, and that's an official high school game. You know, like, how is that kid going to then play in a 94 by 50 court in college?
The three-point line in high school, college, and pro should be the NBA length. Just like the free throw line, duh. Just like the height of the rim. It doesn't change based on the level. Also, the fouls should be the same. If you're going to get five fouls in high school and college, I don't like the way that translates into the next level. I think you should get six on each level. Because here's what happens in a basketball game. A player comes out early in the first 5 minutes, and if he gets two fouls, you got to take him out the game.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
That's no strategy. Now, if there are six fouls, you have to play the person. You have to play your personnel. Is this a player that's likely to get his third foul early? Maybe I can get him in and out for substitution. Maybe I can get him in and out for situations. So more coaching and more strategy is involved. Now in high school or college, the guy gets two fouls, go get him. You got to sit the rest of the half. Fans not really excited about watching that.
I want to hear more about Team USA in London. Are they surrounded by fans? Are they like the Beatles, or is it just another athlete?
Team USA would represent the Beatles under this premise. Of the 20 highest paid athletes at the Olympics, 10 of them play for Team USA men's basketball.
I hope they make Anthony Davis pay for dinner. I really hope they make Anthony Davis pay for dinner.
They did a very nice prank on Anthony Davis, and I don't know how they were able to pull this off unless David Copperfield was around.
Did they trim his brows?
No, they. He was about to go into the game and realized that he didn't have on his jersey.
Why didn't he have his jersey?
And it came off later as a prank, but I'm not sure how that one can fly. But with that being said, Team USA, they have a good bond with one another because there isn't any built-in rivalries.
Yeah.
LeBron James just won a championship beating Kevin Durant. Kobe Bryant has his five. He's at the latter point of his career.
Yep.
No other player besides Tyson Chandler on the team has a championship ring.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think of that.
So now they're all just really at a space where they're trying to get there. Mm-hmm. So they respect one another on and off the floor. They root for one another genuinely. There are no jealousies. Everybody's secure with their position in the league as well as with their current team. The 92 team, they had to break down some barriers to play together.
Yeah, they did.
Clyde Drexler, he wanted to go at Michael Jordan.
And Isaiah wasn't on the team.
Isaiah wasn't on the team because he allegedly didn't get along well with the superstars on the team, i.e. Magic Johnson and or Michael Jordan.
But that shouldn't matter.
Last time I checked, they were rivals.
Yeah.
The Celtics and the Lakers made the finals 8 out of 10 times in the 90s. The only way Detroit was going to kick down the door was to be bad boys. Mm-hmm. A physical play, a style of play that was going to make other teams hesitant to drive the ball to the basket. So now Michael Jordan gets his championship and eliminates Detroit in 1991. And I say this all
you
the time.
You sound salty about it.
I was in the line with the Detroit Pistons when we walked off with 10 seconds to go. I had my hand across my eyebrow and forehead, too. I didn't want to shake
hands
either.
You talk about this all the time. You're really emotionally scarred from this.
I am. So that 92 team, and I know there's been a lot of discussion. Kobe has said it. He talked to me about it, and he confirmed that.
What did Kobe say to you?
Kobe said to me, anybody that thinks that this team can't beat Team 19 in 1992 is an idiot.
Wow.
LeBron James also says that their team this year could win.
Everybody wants to talk about this, but here's a question. You were around them. Do you get are they taking this seriously? I follow them on Twitter and stuff and Instagram. It seems like they're having a lot of fun. And I'm not saying that it's mutually exclusive to have fun and also compete for the gold. But it feels to me like they're just good enough that they're kind of mailing it in. They're going to get the gold medal anyway.
I think they are taking it serious because they have a couple of players along with David Robinson, Carmelo Anthony, and LeBron James.
David Robinson?
Yeah, those are the only three players that play for Team USA 3 times.
Oh, okay.
In the Olympics. So LeBron and Carmelo have been a part of Team USA when they did not win the gold. They were a part of a debacle that was led by Larry Brown. Mm. So because they've been through that, they're not going to let this team have a letdown. And you mentioned something that made me think. Instagram is one of those things that made me realize I had to be on my old man game. And this is what I mean.
What are you even talking about?
When you get a little bit older, you can't do everything the Joneses do. You have to pick and choose your spots.
Okay.
So when MySpace came out, I was like, I could work with that.
Okay.
When Facebook came out, at first I wasn't on it, but I was like, you know what? I need to get on it. I don't follow it often. I probably go on it once a month, but I do have a Facebook
page. You're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter.
You're on Twitter. Instant. You're on Twitter.
I'm on Twitter because it's instant. It's right now.
And you saw Instagram coming and you just
when
said.
When Instagram came out, I'm like, I'm going to let that rock.
I'm not a photographer. You know what I mean? I'm not a photographer. I'm not on Instagram. The Team USA is a lot of fun to watch on Instagram, though. They seem to be having a good time.
Kevin Love is the unofficial photographer of the team. Mm-hmm. He's been getting some good shots of guys who are sleeping with their mouth open and all of that
good
stuff.
It's a lot of fun to watch. Now, there's some other hot topics coming out of the Olympics. The first one I want to talk to you about is one of my favorite athletes on the planet, top 5, Usain Bolt in the 100 final. Did you see it? What were your thoughts?
For all of the fans of sports, I want you to pay attention not necessarily to the greatness of Usain Bolt while he's running the 100-meter, but the confidence that he knows he's put in the time, the energy, the work. I remember being somebody that dreamed about playing in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And people thought I was crazy because I had the confidence then that he has now. And I hadn't accomplished anything.
How old are you?
My entire life. And the reason why I'm pointing that out is that's why Kobe Bryant and LeBron James will say that they can beat the 92 team. It's because when you're an elite athlete, you work so hard in the gym, on the track, and in the weight room, you're running laps, you're sacrificing, you're disciplined, you're eating right. You feel like at that point, I can't be stopped. Mm-hmm. If I'm about to run against some of the fastest people in the world, Blake, Gay, Gatlin, I wouldn't be winking at the camera.
No, they all put on like a little show.
Right? Like, he has flavor. Like, yes, I want to kick it with him.
Me too. That's why he's one of my favorite athletes.
Yes, I want to get it in with him. I want a champagne and campaign with you saying, yes, holler
yes,
at us.
Yes, the bat signal, the bat signal, the bolt signal is out.
Totally.
You want
totally,
a champagne and campaign? Totally.
I love to be out at the 12 with him. Yeah. I bet I can get him to throw up the bolt signal. So I was happy to see him run. He didn't break the original record that he set.
He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to.
But he broke the record for the Olympics.
He does it with ease. And one of my favorite things about this, he does it with ease. One of my favorite things about this is everyone was talking, because he in trials, he came in second to Blake. And everyone's talking about maybe this is the year, maybe this is the year. He walks out smiling, knowing he's going to do it, and then goes out and he beats everybody by two steps.
The coolest title probably in the world besides being heavyweight champion is the fastest man in the world.
It's the most pure sport. It's just so pure. No bats, no balls, no rules. It's like, run from here to there fastest. Everybody runs. Not everybody plays water polo. Not everybody plays golf. Everybody runs.
Water polo is a tough game to play. I can't swim.
They're trying to drown each other.
Right. I can't swim.
It doesn't. You can't swim?
I could doggy paddle.
You can't swim.
I could kind of stroke up and down the pool.
If we were in a boat and it started sinking.
It depends on far. I'm glad you brought this up.
Uh-oh.
People say this all of the time. I don't care if you Greg Louganis. If you get dropped off in the middle of the ocean, it's most likely you're not swimming to shore.
That's fair. That's fair.
People kill me thinking, I can swim. I can swim in anything. No, you can't. No, you cannot. That water get a little warm. You know, ain't no telling what's in that water.
Yeah, and also you get really thirsty. There's got to be something worse than being stuck at sea. You know, you're dehydrated, you're dying of thirst, and you're surrounded by miles and miles of water.
I was watching some of the women's water polo, and
they're trying to drown each other.
I have a newfound respect for that sport.
For sure.
I really do.
Did you see that 250-pound woman on Italy?
Yes.
I was that's an Olympic athlete?
It is physical. They continue to have to stay above water. You can't touch the bottom.
Yeah.
It's fast-paced. When somebody gets a penalty, they swim right into the penalty while the 20-second clock starts right up. So I was impressed by that. Some other people I've been impressed by.
Okay.
Michael Phelps, guy that's been in 24 events, won 22 medals, 18 of them gold.
18 gold. And it's the same thing with Usain Bolt. Everyone's talking about, Michael Phelps, maybe he doesn't have it. He's lost a step, this or that. I've got 18 gold medals. 18 gold medals.
I just want to know that. Where's the accountability? Where are the people that said, this is Lochte's year, Michael Phelps?
You cannot say this guy's name. Lochte. Ryan Lochte.
This is Ryan Lochte's year. Michael Phelps isn't training as hard. This is Blake's year. Mm-hmm. Usain Bolt isn't training as hard. I wish the media really had to have some accountability for the things that they said.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things about Phelps is he said when he was out-touched in the 200 butterfly, I forget the gentleman's name that did it, the South African dude. He was out touched, and in the interview after, he was like, look, I didn't train that hard. I knew this going in. He's like, that's a result of me not training that hard. He's like, me and my coach, you know, going into Beijing, he was a robot. He was a machine. And he, in the interview, I'm paraphrasing, he was basically like, look, I'm having more fun. I'm not taking it as serious. And that's the result is going to be sometimes you get silver. And big deal. I'm at peace with that.
And the talk, since he has so many medals, is he the greatest Olympian of all time? It's hard to go against any decathlete.
It's apples and oranges. It's just kind of like he's the greatest swimmer of all time. He's got the most medals. Those are facts. Those are facts. But when it's like, is he a greater Olympian than you know, the basketball team? Like, I don't know. They can only get one gold.
And Bolt was presented with the same argument. While I think he is the greatest sprinter of all time, I think the greatest runners in the Olympics have to be Carl Lewis and Jesse Owens.
Yeah.
You can flip a coin on that. Yeah. But Usain Bolt is the fastest man in the world. The Olympics are a fun time. You get a chance to see Lolo run, solo defend.
Yep.
Gabby Douglas.
Can we talk about gymnastics?
Yes.
I'm all in on gymnastics. I'm all in on gymnastics. I did not expect to be this sort of wrapped up in it. I'm wrapped up in it. Talk about Gabby.
I'm very excited for the young lady. And a lot of people over these last couple of weeks have talked to me about the term Fab Five.
Yes.
Because that's been used to describe yes. their team.
They kind of named themselves the Fab Five. What do you think?
First off, I don't care. Like, it's not like Shaq and Dwight Howard where all of a sudden I'm going to be a 40-year-old bitter man.
I love your answer. I don't care.
Like, because they're calling them the Fab Five, like, I care.
Yeah.
People hitting me on Twitter, they can't be the Fab Five because ha, 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 they won the gold. The Fab Five didn't win anything. Let me tell you something about life after basketball.
Don't get fired.
Unless you're Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, Shaq, nobody really cares about what you did as a player anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Russell, Dr. J, only a few get that.
Yeah.
Trust me, the rest of the athletes just want to walk down the street talking about your stats and how many games you won. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
This is a what have you done for me lately world.
What have you done for me today?
Right, totally. I remember people getting on Michael Jackson's case, and he accomplished some of the greatest things that you could ever accomplish. Like, he's head and shoulders in his field higher, more accomplished than anybody in their respective field.
But still people are like, what's up with the new album? Last album wasn't that good.
Totally. So, I don't care. I was rooting for them, wanted them to see them do well. And here's the other thing.
Uh-oh.
Gabby, the first African-American young lady that's a gymnast to win gold in the Olympics. There's been some snafus with her coverage. And I'm not going to get fired saying exactly what they were. But this whole flying squirrel, the whole monkey in a gymnast suit to promote the show right after she just got finished winning her event. People talking about her hair and how she's going to wear it and what does it look like.
Yeah.
I don't like that. That's not cool.
Okay. Official opinion.
I'm just going to say that. I rooted for her going into these Olympics because of the stress, the strain, the money, the time, the energy that she not only put in to work to get to this point, but her mom filed for bankruptcy.
Yep, she filed Chapter 13.
Heading into these Olympics, which means they put their entire chips in the middle of the table.
Yeah.
For a young lady that was the last person to make this team, wasn't even supposed to be on the team.
Yeah, she did really well at trials. And her mother had a great quote about it coming out that she filed Chapter 13. She said, it's my story. It's part of me. I'm not even embarrassed about it. She's just like, look, that's what happened. And they made that sacrifice. She's been in Iowa for 2 years and hasn't even been back to Gabby, hasn't even been back to Virginia Beach to see her family. That's the commitment that she's made to her sport, to her craft, to the country even. And look what happened.
I want to point this out. Young men and young women that are athletes, while they don't have the situation probably that their parents, like her mom, had to do, file for bankruptcy, majority of the time, people that come from urban situations, inner city situations, that their parents live either check to check or behind check to check, that's the sacrifice they have to make when they go off to college. You leave where you live, your hometown, you're recruited to a certain college, you have to uproot yourself to go chase the fortunes of your dream that can now change the fortunes of your family. That's one of the things I was talking to the USA team about. How has Christmas changed in your family in these 20 years?
With the basketball players?
Yes.
What'd they say?
It's great to talk to a person like LeBron James, who we know his situation has been made public, how basically he and his mom, you know, basically got up and uprooted themselves seemingly like every 6 months to wake up to an uncertain Christmas where you probably had a stick down there as the tree to now you're in a $10 million house and your kids running on the marble floor to the tree.
Yeah.
With iPads, iPhones.
And the presents don't even fit underneath the branches.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so that's what I appreciate what Gabby has done. The same with Lochte. There's been an alleged, it's been alleged that his parents' home, they did just get a divorce.
Was it foreclosure?
Was possibly going to be a foreclosure. So that leads me to lend the question, should USA or Olympias get paid? Absolutely yes.
I mean, they get endorsements. Like Gabby is now, she's already signed up to be on the cover of Cornflakes. She's, because of this gold medal and because of this Olympics, the finances are going to be coming.
Only for the elite.
Yeah.
What about everybody that's putting in sweat equity?
Yeah, not everybody won a gold.
You know? Shouldn't only get paid if you win a gold. That's not fair. Everybody that has taken time, energy, sacrifice, discipline, diligence to put themselves in a position to be an Olympian should be paid for it. And here's why. I wanted to go see Michael Phelps swim. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
you're
it's
in
the
London.
400 relay. I want to go check it out.
Okay.
USA just beat France in basketball. France is doing the 400 relay against USA in swimming.
Yep.
I want to go see Locken. I want to go see Michael Phelps, who got University of Michigan ties. I looked down at the ticket prices, $1,200.
It was not $1,200.
It was.
$1,200 to go see the 4x100.
I'm like, where the nearest TV?
You could buy a TV. You could just buy a TV if
right.
you wanted.
Like, those events cost. And here's a misnomer. You looked at a lot of the events on TV, and the events were not full. And people say, how could that happen?
How is it $1,200 if there's empty seats?
Sports has become big business, bigger than ever. Every sporting event has a line that people are betting on. Also, when tickets go on sale, brokers buy them all up.
So how
and then
empty?
Now that broker sells the ticket based on popularity for 2, 3, 4, if not more times the value.
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't get the price that they want, they sit on the ticket. And that's why you'll look at an Olympic event and you'll say, wow, it says sold out. Well, a broker, that's their business. So as soon as the ticket goes on sale at 12, they're buying them all up at 12:01.
There has been some empty seats in some of these events. It's a fact.
And that's why. So they wanted to reward not only some family members of Olympians, but also some servicemen and women, also some teachers and people who work in education, to allow them to sit in those seats. But I wanted to, I like Michael Phelps.
But I'm 1200 like, you know is, what? No.
But it's not even 5 minutes.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Right?
That's
it's
a lot of money.
3 minutes. I'm like, you know what? To go deal with the traffic and to deal with the audience and do all of that, to sit in a humid gym for,
No.
I'm good.
Did you do any champagne campaigning in London?
That's, you know what? That's almost a daily operation, like Gangstar CD.
Okay.
You know, like Drizzy said, you know, you got to celebrate the accomplishments. It just so happened that sometimes the accomplishments happen every day.
Yeah, so, hey, you can't let them go by without being celebrated. Another thing I want you to answer, or I don't want you to get fired, okay?
Okay.
Remember, you have to respect the BS report. Serena Williams and the Crip Walk. It's a Crip Walk is a dance. It's associated with the Crip Gang. She did it after she won the gold. Your reaction to it?
She was fine until she put her hands above her head.
What's that
kind of made it official.
What do you mean?
That went from being sort of similar innocent foot dance.
It's a popular dance.
That went from making it a popular dance with foot movement to actually an affiliation.
What do you think, or you think she should not have done it?
I don't think that was the stage for it.
Fair.
And the reason why I don't think it was the stage for it is because there's a lot of blood shed that goes with that lifestyle. And nobody knows that better than her.
Yeah.
Because they've had an unfortunate situation to deal with their family and her sister who passed away a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And we're going to be very sensitive to that. So we know that she understands, being from Compton, what that lifestyle can bring in a negative light. And that's just not the stage for that.
Yeah, I mean, you have USA across your chest as well.
It's not the stage for that. If you want to do that in the living room, on your tile floor or your marble floor, then cool.
Yeah, but not in the Olympics, not in Wimbledon.
Well, because the one thing about being an athlete, and I know Charles Barkley had a great commercial in the 90s about not being a role model, you're on that stage, that does make you a role model.
Mm-hmm.
People do actually think everybody they see on TV is famous and or rich.
Yes. They do.
They think just because you're on, I saw you on TV, dang. Let me get 500. I'll pay you back on the first, like Wimpy and Popeye. So I just don't think for such an accomplished athlete, I spent time with Serena, and I know her intention was not to cause a negative stir. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure she would much rather the focus be on the gold medal that she won by dominating Sharapova, by
yeah.
the way.
6-0, 6-1.
Just dominant.
I mean, Sharapova, that's one of the best in the world.
She looked scared.
It's just 6-0, 6-1.
She was intimidated.
She won one game.
She looked very intimidated.
Yeah, and Serena was focused.
And then she won a gold with her sister playing doubles. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate what they have done as an athletic family to transform the sport of tennis and the longevity that they've been able to endure.
Yeah.
I just think it was wrong place, wrong time. And here's a testament to whether somebody admits it or not, if they know they've done something wrong.
What do you got here?
You asked this question. Will she do that again?
No.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. she wouldn't do it again. She would not. Now, got to move on. The NFL is coming up, Jalen. What is it?
Are you ready for some football? Yeah.
What are you most excited about this season?
I'm a Detroit Lions homer.
I know you are.
So I want to see Matthew Stafford throw for 5,000 more and see if Megatron, you know, continue to put up the numbers. I need to see our defense tighten back up. We gave 98 points up the last two games of the year against Matt Flynn in Green Bay and then against New Orleans. But really, I want to see how Peyton Manning's going to respond after being out with his injury.
There is so much talk about Tim Tebow, which we're not going to talk about.
We're not going to talk
about
Tim Tebow.
There's so much talk about Tim Tebow. It's like no
Joe Namath called him a sideshow.
We're not talking about him, right? But like, Peyton Manning's almost under the radar. He's going to be on the Denver Broncos, and then no one's really talking about it.
Four-time MVP. Returns from a couple of neck fusion surgeries. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why I stopped playing football, I used to think I was Ed Too Tall Jones.
Really? What position do you play?
Defensive end.
When did you stop?
Ninth grade.
Really?
Yeah, when them cats was chop blocking me.
Oh, yeah.
That's I was what like, happened. No. I got cut a couple of times. I was like, I'm good. But I used to try to hurt every quarterback. I did. I played dirty. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's going to happen this year for Peyton Manning is their offensive line has got to protect him.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to get a balance with their running game.
Yeah.
It can't be just drop back.
And now we have Peyton Manning. Let's just throw
it
all the time.
We got Peyton Manning. Yeah. Let's sling it all across the yard 40 times.
Yeah.
That can't happen. Because as I mentioned, the reason why I stopped playing football because I didn't want to get hit. And every time you get hit, your neck snaps.
Yeah,
I don't care what position you play.
And I don't know what a neck fusion surgery is, but it sounds like it's a big deal.
It's very intense.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see the return of Peyton Manning. I want to see also if a team like the Cowboys can kind of live up to their billing.
I would love for the Cowboys to just be relevant again. Have us talking about them. Just have a good season.
I want to see Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, who only lost one game last year, see if they can continue to improve their defense. They have one of the worst defenses along with the Patriots.
RG3 is exciting to me.
RG3?
He's really exciting to me.
You know what's funny? The media spin. It's like, oh, RG3 is holding the ball too long in practice and taking too many sacks. He's a rookie, and he plays on the Washington Redskins. And they don't have a line. And they got a good defense. I bet their defense is ahead of their offense.
And it's August. It's August. You know, let them figure it out.
But they're not saying that about Andrew Luck.
No.
That's all I'm saying, the media spin. And that's where Tebow comes in. It's Tebow running like Bo Derek. With his shirt off.
In the rain.
In practice. In the rain.
Super slow-mo.
Super slow motion. Where is somebody to lay down their coat so he can run over a puddle? So we make it theater.
Yeah.
He's fun. A backup quarterback / punt protector. And I'm going to just throw this out here.
You can't not talk about him. We said we weren't going to talk about him, and you're talking about him right now, Jalen.
No, I got to throw this out there.
You're talking about him right now.
If the Jets think they're going to be in four... If the Jets actually think they're going to be in poor field positions, and it's fourth and five, and they're going to be faking it to Tebow, and other teams going to be going for that. That's not happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So to think that he's about to reinvent that position.
It's just a decoy.
Don't do it. Please don't do it. Because teams are going to be ready for that.
What's happening with Dwight Howard? How come no one's, what's happening? What's going to happen? Please give me some insight on this. What is happening?
We've talked about it ad nauseum on this show, and the Orlando Magic did exactly what I suggested.
Yeah, I did notice that.
What's the rush?
You've got a contract with
us. He's under contract. We're paying you $15-20 million dollars a year. As long as you're picking up a check on the 1st and 15th, we'll see you, big fella.
Yep.
We got practice at this time. We got meetings at this time. Yep. We got workouts at this time.
The schedule's out. We've got games.
You know? Hey, the trainer needs you on the table. You're rehabbing your back surgery. I mean, it's business as usual until we get the deal we need, big fella.
That's exactly what it is, business. You signed a contract. You're going to fulfill that contract, and we're going to pay you for it.
And if we don't get the right deal, we're going to wait.
Who's going to give them the right deal?
Why would, and media types were talking about this, why would the Orlando Magic do a deal with the Nets to get Brook Lopez for $61 million and Chris Humphries for $24 million? The two big men that have been on the Nets the past few years when they struggled.
Yeah, struggled is putting it lightly.
I'm not taking that as the cornerstones of a Dwight Howard deal and tie up $100 million of my cap. I knew they weren't doing that. Just take your time. Baby, we can do it. Take your time.
Do it right.
We can do it, baby. It's no rush. He's under contract. And
where's he going to end up? What's going to happen? Get out the Jalen Rose crystal ball.
The crystal ball tells me that players in this thing strongly, Los Angeles Lakers, Houston Rockets, a flyer for the Cavs because they would try to get Andrew Bynum. Those are the two pieces. Yeah. Bynum, Howard. Those are the three teams, including the Lakers. Orlando makes four.
Are the Lakers still part of this?
The Lakers need to be, and here's why. I like what they did by getting Anton Jameson, a player that could get you 15 points whatever, without really having to run a play on for him. Mm. He could get it off movement, cuts. He's a crafty scorer. You can't have Steve Nash and Andrew Bynum in pick and roll in the playoffs. Here are the guards that the Lakers are going to have to go against. Here are my four best teams in the West.
Okay.
OKC.
Yes.
They have Russell Westbrook.
Yes, they do. Very good at basketball.
Los Angeles Clippers, they have Chris Paul.
Again, very good at basketball.
Both of them just so happen to be on Team USA.
Yeah.
So they're pretty good. Tony Parker, he's playing for Team France.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good.
Yes.
Great so those are the guards that they're going to have to go against in pick and roll.
Yeah.
Three of the best in the game.
Steve Nash can't stay in front of any of those people.
He's not a defender. He doesn't guard his own position.
Yeah.
I played with him in Phoenix. We had a lot of success. He was a two-time MVP. He's one of my favorite players, one of my favorite teammates. But Rajah Bell, Sean Marion, those players were asked to guard his position. The same when he was in Phoenix. So now, Kobe Bryant, at this point of his career, can't be guarding Steve Nash, man, every night.
No.
Meta World Peace, at this point of his career, doesn't have the foot speed to be guarding point guards on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
So since you know that, I think now they work harder to try to move Bynum because Steve Nash has a three-year contract. Andrew Bynum is going into the final year of his deal.
That's a good point. Now, we always got to touch on some music or some pop culture. Rick Ross' new album's out.
Rosé!
What do you think?
I love it.
Yeah?
I love the title, too.
What is it?
God Forgives and I Don't.
Yeah.
That's just enough said right there.
He's really built an empire with the Maybach Music Group. Like, I didn't see this coming. Like, now they're kind of like one of the hottest little labels / collectives in the game.
This is what I like that he has done. Perseverance. In sports and entertainment, you constantly have to reinvent yourself.
Mm.
Or people get tired of you. That's why you see him go from being Jay-Z to S.Dot Carter to Jigga to Hov.
Yep.
From Puffy to Diddy to Sean Combs. Because you have to continue to reinvent yourself if you're going to have longevity.
Mm-hmm.
LL, Uncle L.
Yep. And his mom said knock you out. He's changing, doing rock and roll songs.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to reinvent yourself. And Rick Ross was able to do that when the whole correctional officer situation came out. a beef with 50 Cent. No one normally survives a beef with 50 Cent. Ask Ja Rule.
Yeah.
Right?
I haven't seen him lately.
And Ja Rule actually had a hot Vinny Vetti Vetti.
He was like one of the biggest rappers
tight.
Out for 2 years.
He was.
Yeah.
What would I be without you? He was doing this thing. So it's hard to survive a beef with 50. I've actually spent time with Rosé, name drop. That's my people. I'm happy to see the success that he's having. As a matter of fact.
Tell me about spending time with Rosé. What happens? Where are you?
Well, initially, the first time I kicked it with them, we were on a movie set for The Cookout.
Okay.
I made an appearance in the movie, as well as he. I was in Miami. That's his turf. That's mm-hmm. his background. So, the boss, as he calls himself, when you're on his turf, then you got to allow him to be the host.
Okay. So, how did he host?
So, we was hanging out, champagne in the campaign, and uh-huh. giving the people what they want.
Celebrating accomplishments.
Giving them what they need.
Yep.
Having a good time. Studio, shows. And I'm a fan of music. Like a lot of people may or may not know this, but mm-hmm. one of my hobbies is actually DJing. And I do not like DJing CDs. Give me some 12-inches,
okay.
yo,
okay.
for real.
Okay.
I'm no DJ Scratch. I'm no Clark Kent. I'm not Dope. I'm no Jazzy Jeff.
No.
But it's just a hobby.
Okay.
So now being around Rosé, being around Jeezy, some of my favorite friends that are artists, The Lox, Jada, Styles, mm-hmm. and Sheek, I just like to be in that atmosphere because those worlds cross paths all the time.
Yeah,
kicking
yeah,
it
yeah.
with Ice Cube. Snoop is now Lion. He changed his second name.
Snoop Lion.
He can do that. He's the OG. He's the uncle. E-40, too short. So
you just dropped every name in the industry.
I'm thinking of people that put
you
me in videos.
You dropped every name in the industry.
For a minute, people was calling me a video bro. They were. I was in videos of Ludacris, Scarface, Puffy, and 112 with Fabulous, Master P.
Jalen, you've dropped too many names.
And people was like, why are you in so many videos? Right place at the right time. Don't hate. Jamie Foxx.
Sounds like a lot of champagne and campaigning.
Absolutely.
Listen, we gotta go.
Promote the show.
We gotta go.
Good night, sweetheart. It's time to go.
I want to thank Bill for putting us on the BS Report.
This will be your last time on the BS Report.
Tell everybody listening that the Grantland Network, the Grantland Network will be on the BS Report all week long. You can always find the Grantland Network on iTunes and subscribe to it. We've got a lot of good shows, including the Jalen Rose Show. Jalen, thanks so much. I'll see you next Monday.
It is my pleasure. Say goodbye to us. Because this will be the last time Bill gives us the keys to the car.
Target the sun off.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.